Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed a message that came in from Grover's Mill by telephone. Just one moment, please. At least 40 people, including 6 state troopers, lie dead in a field east of the village of Grover's Mill. Their bodies burned and distorted beyond all possible recognition. The next voice you hear will be that of Brigadier General Montgomery Smith, commander of the state militia at Trenton, New Jersey.
This is the new evil in our world. No regard whatever for the sanctity or value of human life, and we must come together to defeat it and eradicate it.
Come on, step inside and you'll realize. Tell me what you need. Tell me what to be. What's your vision you see? What do you expect of me? I can't live that.
This is a battle between the free world and the new evil in our world. We therefore here in Britain stand shoulder to shoulder with our American friends in this hour of tragedy. And we, like them, will not rest until this evil is driven from our world.
Requested by the governor of New Jersey to place the counties of Mercer and Middlesex as far west as Princeton and east to Jamesburg under martial law. No one will be permitted to enter this area except by special pass issued by state or military authorities. 4 companies of state militia are proceeding from Trenton to Grover's Mill and will aid in the evacuation of homes within the range of military operations. Thank you.
I've just come now from a meeting of the North Atlantic Council, which met to review the situation and to reaffirm its full support for those targeted actions. The permanent representatives of the United States of America and of the United Kingdom briefed the Council. The NATO ambassadors this morning expressed their full support for the actions of the United States and the United Kingdom, which follow the appalling attacks perpetrated against the United States on the 11th of September 2001. They reiterated their readiness to provide assistance as required. Specifically, they remain fully committed to implement the 8 measures agreed on the 4th of October at the request of the United States. In this context, and following a specific request from the United States, the Allies today agreed that 5 NATO AWACS aircraft, together with their crews, will deploy to the United States to assist operations. This deployment, which was agreed by acclamation, will allow United States aircraft currently engaged in these operations in the United States to be released for operations elsewhere. NATO ambassadors welcomed France's intention to provide increased support by French AWACS aircraft in Bosnia-Herzegovina. Other NATO allies have pledged direct military support as this operation unfolds. The alliance itself will continue to provide military and other support to consult on the implications for its security and to take whatever defensive measures are necessary. The alliance stands ready to play its role. I will be consulting over the next couple of days, first of all with Prime Minister Kitchener in Canada, evening, and I will personally congratulate and commend the offers of support that have been made by Canada at this time, and indeed the support that has already been given by this country. And on Wednesday I will be at the White House to meet President Bush, where I will be there first and foremost to express sympathy to his nation, but also to pledge the full-hearted support of the whole NATO alliance for America at its time of need.
Anyone who has looked around the sky knows that we do not keep aircraft in the air to anticipate some situation like that.
Make no mistake about it, your armed forces are ready.
Ready. had a sense in this country of being safe. Our innocence has definitely been shattered.
Of the catastrophe at Grover's Mill are coming in. The strange creatures, after unleashing their deadly assault, crawled back in their pit and made no attempt to prevent the efforts of the firemen to recover the bodies and extinguish the fire. The combined fire departments of Mercer County are fighting the flames which menace the entire countryside. We have been unable to establish any contact with our mobile unit at Grover's Mill, but we hope to be able to return you there at the earliest possible moment. In the meantime, we take you to... Just one moment, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I have just been informed that we have finally established communication with an eyewitness of the tragedy. Professor Pearson has been located at a farmhouse near Grover's Mill, where he has established an emergency observation post. As a scientist, he will give you his explanation of the calamity. The next voice you hear will be that of Professor Pearson, brought to you by direct wire.
Suddenly there was a sort of a panic rum, then there was a huge explosion, and as we rushed out of the building, we saw papers and streamers flowing everywhere, but then the sheer fear and the panic of the situation, but most of us just ran, and then there was another explosion. All we could see was smoke and one of the towers of the building. I got the impression that as I kept running, the second tower had caught on fire as well. All of downtown looks just strewn with people, cars and trucks, and lots of confusion.
Ah! guess you think they're trying to save themselves. I don't know. And I don't know. Everybody who doesn't know where to go, they won't let. Everything is blocked off. You can't even. They're telling us to get out, but there's nowhere to go. And if you go over by there, you can see the people jumping out the window. They're jumping out the window right now. Oh, my God.
Professor Pearson.
Of the creatures in the rocket cylinder at Grover's Mill, I can give you no authoritative information either as to their nature, their origin, or their purposes here on Earth. Of their destructive instrument, I might venture some conjectural explanation. For want of a better term, I shall refer to the mysterious weapon as a heat ray. It's all too evident that these creatures have scientific knowledge far in advance of our own. It's my guess that in some way they are able to generate an intense heat in a chamber of practically absolute non-conductivity. This intense heat they project in a parallel beam against any object they choose by means of a polished parabolic mirror of unknown composition. Much as the mirror of a lighthouse projects a beam of light. That is my conjecture of the origin of the heat ray.
Thank you, Professor Pearson.
Gentlemen, here is a bulletin from Trenton. It is a brief statement informing us that the charred body of Carl Phillips has been identified in a Trenton hospital. Now here's another bulletin from Washington, D.C. The office of the director of the National Red Cross reports 10 units of Red Cross emergency workers have been assigned to the headquarters of the state militia, stationed outside of Grover's Mill, New Jersey. Here's a bulletin from State Police, Princeton Junction. The fires at Grover's Mill and vicinity are now under control. Scouts report all quiet in the pit, and there is no sign of life appearing from the mouth of the cylinder. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have a special statement from Mr. Harry McDonald, Vice President in charge of operations.
We have received a request from the State Militia of Fenton to place at their disposal our entire broadcasting facilities. In view of the gravity of the situation, believing that radio has a responsibility to serve in the public interest at all times, we are turning over our facilities to the State Militia of Fenton.
This is Captain Lansing of the Signal Corps, attached to the State Militia, now engaged in military operations in the vicinity of Grover's Mill. Situation arising from the reported presence of certain individuals of unidentified nature is now under complete control. The cylindrical object lies in a pit directly below our position, surrounded on all sides by 8 battalions of infantry, without heavy field pieces, but adequately armed with rifles and machine guns. All cause for alarm, if such cause ever existed, is now entirely unjustified. Things, whatever they are, do not even venture to poke their heads above the pit. I can see their hiding place plainly in the glare of the searchlights here. With all their reported resources, these creatures can scarcely stand up against heavy machine gun fire. Anyway, it's an interesting outing for the troops. I can make out their khaki uniforms crossing back and forth in front of the lights. Looks almost like a real war. There appears to be some slight smoke in the woods bordering the Millstone River. Probably fire started by campers. Well, we ought to see some action soon. One of the companies is deploying on the left flank. A quick thrust and it'll all be over. Now, wait a minute. I see something on top of the cylinder. No, it's nothing but a shadow. Now the troops are on the edge of the Wilmot Farm. 7,000 armed men closing in on an old metal tube. A tub, rather. Well, wait, that wasn't a shadow. It's something moving. Solid metal, kind of a shield-like affair, rising up out of the cylinder. It's going higher and higher. But it's standing on legs, actually rearing up on a sort of metal framework. Now it's reaching above the trees and the searchlights are on it. Hold on.
Say. disrespect me and give me flack. I stop and think before I react. Knowing that they're going through insecure stages, I take the opportunity to exercise patience. I see it as a chance to help the other person. I see it as a thought before I can run. So I see a chance for me to restore the source. As a thought on the hurdles who have gone before, as a praise and respect the good way to
gentlemen, I have a grave announcement to make. Incredible as it may seem, both the observations of science and the evidence of our eyes lead to the inescapable assumption that those strange beings who landed in the Jersey farmlands tonight are the vanguard of an invading army from the planet Mars. The battle which took place tonight at Grover Mills has ended in one of the most startling defeats ever suffered by an army in modern times. 7,000 men armed with rifles and machine guns pitted against the single fighting machine of the invaders from Mars. 120 known survivors. The rest strewn over the battle area from Grover's Mill to Plainsboro, crushed and trampled to death under the metal feet of the monster, or burned to cinders by its heat ray. The monster is now in control of the middle section of New Jersey and has effectively cut the state through its center. Communication lines are down from Pennsylvania to the Atlantic Ocean. Railroad tracks are torn and service from New York to Philadelphia discontinued, except routing some of the trains through Allerton and Phoenixville. Highways to the north, south, and west are clogged with frantic human traffic. Police and army reserves are unable to control the mad flight. By morning, the fugitives will have swelled Philadelphia, Camden, and Trenton, it is estimated, to twice their normal population. Martial law prevails throughout New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania. At this time, we take you to Washington for a special broadcast on the national emergency. The Secretary of the Interior. We'll be right back. citizens of the nation, I shall not try to conceal the gravity of the situation that confronts the country, nor the concern of your government in protecting the lives and property of its people. I wish to impress upon you, private citizens and public officials, all of you, the urgent need of calm and resourceful action. Fortunately, this formidable enemy is still confined to a comparatively small area, and we may place our faith in the military forces to keep them there. In the meantime, placing our faith in God, we must continue the performance of our duties, each and every one of us, so that we may confront this destructive adversary with a nation united, courageous, and consecrated to the preservation of human supremacy on this earth. I thank you.
You have just heard the Secretary of the Interior speaking from Washington. Bulletins too numerous to read are piling up in the studio here. We're informed that the central portion of New Jersey is blacked out from radio communication due to the effect of the heat ray upon power lines and electrical equipment. Here's a special bulletin in New York. Cables have been received from English, French, and German scientific bodies offering assistance. Astronomers report continued gas outbursts at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The majority voiced the opinion that the enemy will be reinforced by additional rocket machines. There have been several attempts made to locate Professor Pearson of Princeton, who has observed Martians at close range. It is feared he was lost in the recent battle. Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes report three Martian machines visible above treetops, moving north toward Somerville with population fleeing ahead of them. The heat ray is not in use, although advancing at express train speed, invaders pick their way carefully. They seem to be making a conscious effort to avoid destruction of cities and countryside. However, they stop to uproot power lines, bridges, and railroad tracks. Their apparent objective is to crush resistance, paralyze communication, and disorganize human society. Here is a bulletin from Basking Ridge, New Jersey. Coon hunters have stumbled on a second cylinder similar to the first, embedded in the great swamp 20 miles south of Morristown. Army field pieces are proceeding from Newark to blow up the second invading unit before the cylinder can be opened in the fighting machine rig. They're taking up a position in the foothills of Watchung Mountain. Another bulletin from Langham Field, Virginia. Scouting planes report enemy machines now three in number, increasing speed northward, kicking over houses and trees in their evident haste to form a conjunction with their allies south of Marstown. Machines also sighted by telephone operator east of Middlesex, within 10 miles of Plainfield. Here's a bulletin from Winston Field, Long Island. A fleet of army bombers carrying heavy explosive flying north in pursuit of enemy. Scouting planes act as guides. They keep the speeding enemy in sight. Just a moment, please, ladies and gentlemen. We've run special wires to the artillery line in adjacent villages to give you direct reports in the zone of the advancing enemy. First, we take you to the battery of the 22nd Field Artillery, located in the Watchung Mountains.
Range 32 meters.
32 meters.
Projection 39 degrees.
39 degrees.
Fire!
Not in 40 yards to the right, sir.
Shift range. 31 meters.
31 meters.
Projection 37 degrees.
37 degrees.
Fire. Shift 50, 30 meters.
30 meters.
Protection 27 degrees.
27 degrees.
Fire.
Lancer. Letting off a smoke.
What is it?
Black smoke, sir. Moving this way. Lying close to the ground. Moving fast.
Put on gas mask.
Put me inside.
Ready to fire. Hit to 24 meters.
24 meters.
Protection 24 degrees.
24 degrees.
Fire.
They can't see, sir. Smoke's coming nearer.
Get the range.
Meters.
23 meters.
23
3 off Bayou in New Jersey. Lieutenant Quote, commanding 8 bombers, reporting to Commander Fairfax Langham Field. This is Quote reporting to Commander Fairfax Langham Field. Enemy tripod machines now in sight. Reinforced by 3 machines from the Morristown cylinder. 6 altogether. 1 machine partially crippled. Believed hit by shell from Army gun in Wachung Mountains. Guns now appear silent. A heavy black fog hanging close to the earth of extreme density, nature unknown. No sign of heat ray. Enemy now turns east, crossing Passaic River into the Jersey marshes. Another straddles the Pulaski Skyway. Evident objective is New York City. They're pushing down a high-tension power station. Teams are close together now, and we're ready to attack. Plane circling, ready to strike. A 1,000 yards and we'll be over the first. Yards. 600. 400. 200. There they go. Tired arm raised. Green flash. They're spraying us with flame. 2,000 feet. Engines are giving out. No chance to release bombs. Only one thing left, drop on the plane at all. We're diving on the first one. Now the engine's gone.
tragedy that we're all undergoing right now is something that we've had nightmares about, probably thought wouldn't happen. My heart goes out to all of the innocent victims of this horrible and vicious act, and our focus now has to be on saving as many lives as possible.
The spore gets inhaled into the bottom of the lung. It then moves to the lymph nodes in the chest. As a result of reasons we don't understand, at some point that spore germinates. It starts multiplying, it enters the bloodstream, and the usual reactions of the immune system and septic shock ensue. A very tiny amount of this anthrax powder escaped as a result of someone forgetting to replace an air filter, and it killed people and animals many kilometers downwind. If you treat people very early, preferably before they get symptoms, you can save them from anthrax.
Fayon, New Jersey, calling Langham Field. Fayon, New Jersey, calling Langham Field. Come in, please.
Langham Field. Go ahead.
Eight Army bombers in engagement with enemy tripod machines over Jersey Flats. Engines incapacitated by heat ray. All crash. One enemy machine destroyed. Enemy now discharging heavy black smoke.
This is Newark, New Jersey. Newark, New Jersey. Warning. Poisonous black smoke pouring in from Jersey marshes. Streets at South Street. Gas masks useless. Urge population to move into open spaces. Automobiles use routes 7, 23, 24. Avoid congested areas. Smoke now spreading over Raymond Boulevard.
Na 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 na
the roof of Broadcasting Building, New York City. The bells you hear are ringing, imploring the people to evacuate the city as Martians approach. Estimated in the last 2 hours, 3 million people have moved out along the roads to the north. Hutchinson River Parkway is still kept open for motor traffic. Boyd Bridges to Long Island, hopelessly jammed. All communication with Jersey Shore closed 10 minutes ago. No more defenses. Our army is wiped out. Artillery, Air Force, everything wiped out. This may be the last broadcast. We'll stay here to the end. People are holding service here below us in the cathedral.
Population pulling out from docks. Streets are all jammed. Noise and crowds like New Year's Eve in city. Wait a minute. The enemy is now in sight above the Palisades. Five great machines. First one is crossing the river. I can see it from here, wading the Hudson like a man wading through a brook. A bullet in his hand, and the Martian cylinders are falling all over the country. One outside of Buffalo, one in Chicago, St. Louis. Seem to be time and space. Now the first machine reaches the shore. He stands watching, looking over the city. His steel cowlish head is even with the skyscrapers. Waits for the others. They rise like a line of new towers on the city's west side. Now they're lifting their metal hands. This is the end now. Smoke comes out, black smoke drifting over the city. People in the streets see it now. They're running toward the East River, thousands of them, dropping in like rats. Now the smoke's spreading faster. It's reached Times Square. People are trying to run away from it, but it's no use. They're falling like flies. Now the smoke's crossing 6th Avenue. 5th Avenue. 100 yards away. It's 50 feet. Thank you.
Don't you think you ought to rest? Don't you think you ought to lay your head down? Don't you think you want to sleep? Don't you think you ought to lay your head down?